You last week a little bit at the end. We'll come at the end to review that test, the tribe with the Yeshua.
What's the end? Yeshua
with the Tnai.
Ah.
I think you're referring to the Tosis, you said
Tosis and Gemara.
Yes. Between Shvu and Neder and give
yes.
The Rosh Kivar Torah.
Yes, yes.
Is it really Shvu and Neder?
Right.
Or is it the Yisur and Mamon?
Yes.
No, the Tosis is the Yisur and Mamon. And Rav said it's a double half slug. So according to the Rav, there's no chiluk between a Shvu and a Neder. And according to Tosis,
Many Rishonim don't accept what Tosis said.
The chiluk between Shvu and Neder.
Right.
So if it's a half slug, it's the same thing. Shvu and Neder would be the same thing.
Yeah. Right. Last week we learned the Gemara Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. So the Gemara had a machlek. The Mishnah had a machlek as hatanaim. How much do you have to write into the Megillah Saita and then erase? Because the pasuk starts off with a bracha. If you're innocent, nothing will happen. So, and if you're guilty, then you're going to die in Misa Mishnah. You'll get sick and you die in Misa Mishnah. So is it necessary to write that? The bracha in the, you say the bracha, but is it necessary to write it in the Megillah Saita? Because it says in the Chumash, you're supposed to write because of Hakoinus Ha'olus Ha'elabas, you're supposed to write the Klolus. So that Klolus is a Mechlal Hen Ata Shemei Alav, that's not an explicit Klolus. It's only by inference. So the Gemara says, shouldn't that be dependent on the Machlekes Hatanaim in general and other Mesichtes? What a Mechlal Hen Ata Shemei Alav, that's a Machlekes Rameir. In the Chachamim, so the Gemara has a stira within Reb Meir. Tanakam over here is Reb Meir. Reb Meir is the one who says you need Tanai Koful that you don't say Mechalal Hen Atoshmei Olam Mechalal Atoshmei Hen. Zakam over here, Reb Meir says you have to write. You have Reb Meir, Reb Yosi, and Reb Yuda. Three different shitas. How much do you write? So Reb Meir is the first Tana. He says you write even the Kalola that's by inference. So the Gemara says, but he's the one who doesn't hold from Mechalal Hen Atoshmei Olam. So Amar Rav Tanchum, the Gemara says, no, here it's kemat explicit. It says, ad ki lo sotis, hinoki. So the way it's written, it sounds like chinoki. If you are guilty, chinoki mimei amar mamar. It's so heavy, it's so thick, amashmois, that it's like kemat diba mefurish over here. So we just spoke a little bit about this machlekes, mechlal hen atoshamei alav. So we mentioned that the Gemara has it in three different places, by Tanai. Let's say a man gives a get to his wife. So he says, if it snows tomorrow, the get should be chal. And if it does not snow tomorrow, the get should not be chal. So a mayor insists you have to say both, the hen and the lav. If it snows, and you have to say first the hen and then the lav. Hen kaidim the lav. First you have to say, if it snows tomorrow, the get should be chal. And if it does not snow tomorrow, the get should not be chal. If he says it backwards, if he says, the get should be chal if it snows tomorrow, toignish. That's called Maisa kaidim la tanai. You have to first tanai kaidim la maisa. And Rameir says you have to say both. If it snows tomorrow, the get should be chav, does know not. Because that's what it says in Parshas B'nei God and B'nei Reuven. In the end, the Chumash Bamidbar, when Moshe Rabbeinu negotiated with Reuven and God, the Chat Yishevet HaMenashe, the original plan was that we're going to divide Eretz Yisrael into 12 sections. And every Shevet is going to get a section in Eretz Yisrael. You're going to get a parallel section in Eber HaYarden. Everybody got to get slices across. And then the Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven said, Mikna Rav Hoyle Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven, they requested, we don't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. Instead of having slices, everybody having a cross, they wanted to have circles. They said, we want 2.5 Shvatim should get chunks of Eber HaYarden. We don't need anything in Eretz Yisrael. Then the Mele, all those who are going to get in Eretz Yisrael are going to get also circles, sloppy. It's not going to be straight lines across. So the Rabbanu Shel Olam agreed to the deal on the condition, if they participate in the war, in the Melchama, then the plan is on. And as nit, then we go back to plan A, to the original plan, that everybody gets a section in Eretz Yisrael and a parallel section in Eber HaYarden corresponding. So in the Chumash it says the hen on the lab. It says first the hen, miyavru unisatim, mlo yavru, v'nochazu b'seichachem. If they go as plan B, and if they don't go as plan A. So since it says both, so Reb Meir insists every Tanai is learned that from Tanai B'nei Gad B'nei Reuven. If not for that parsha, you wouldn't know that such a concept exists. You wouldn't know you have a right to make a kedushan ala Tanai and a get ala Tanai and hafrashas truma ala Tanai and mekach ala Tanai and so on. The whole institution of Tanai is learned that from B'nei Gad B'nei Reuven. So you have to word it the way they did. And then the other Tanaim disagree. They say no. Michlal hen atosha me'alav. If you say one half is good enough, it's self understood. Self understood. There, it would not be self understood. If you'd only say the first half, if Negor and Neiruven participate in the war of Kibush Eretz Yisrael, then the deal is on. And if they don't participate, so it's not so obvious that we go back to plan A. Maybe it means we penalize them. They get nothing. They don't get Eretz Yisrael, they don't get Eibar Yarden. It's unclear what the alternative would be. So that's what the other Tanaim disagree with. If you wouldn't say the negative, you wouldn't be sure what the negative is supposed to be. So they claim you don't learn out from there. So that's the first place where there's a machlekes, Rameh Nechachamim, is by Tanai. Whether you really need Tanai Kofel, you have to say the hen and the lav, and the hen kodim alav, and so on. That's Rav Meir. And the Chachamim deny it, no, michlala matoshimehen, you can tell by inference. And the second case is by Mikal Chaver Deshem. If you curse someone, so you get Malkus, so that's if you curse, Hashem should punish you. What if he says Hashem should not bless you? Hashem should not be kind to you. So if he's not kind, means you're going to be cursed, you're going to suffer. So by inference, it's a curse. So that's a machlegis in the Mishnah Shavuos, that Rameir says he's not chai mishum mikal chavero, and the Chachamim say no. By inference, that's a curse. I think so. The Tanai always has to be before the Maisa. The Gemara understands Tanai Kodim and Maisa the way I just said. You have to, in wording it, you have to say, if it snows, the get should be chal. If it doesn't snow, the get should not be chal. The Rambam ignores the Gemara. The Rambam uses that expression, and he says it means a different thing. Tanai Kodim and Maisa means you have to say the Tanai before you do the Maisa, not before you say the Maisa. It means like this. Let's say I sell you a Gemara for $10, and you give me the $10, I give you the Gemara, and then as you're walking away, I say, but the deal is only valid, if I want, I can back out to HaKadei Dibur. If I back out, I can back out, you back out, everybody, either party can back out to HaKadei Dibur. But I can't make a Tanai to HaKadei Dibur. Even though I can back out to HaKadei Dibur, back out means I pull out the Das, so the whole Mekach falls apart. But if I take the $10 and I give you the Gemara, whatever, then I say, after I did the Kinyan, and it's self-understood, the Kenyan is only on the Tanai, that it snows tomorrow. If it doesn't snow tomorrow, the Kenyan is not valid. So even though you have a right to back out to HaKadei Dibur, but you cannot make a Tanai to HaKadei Dibur after doing the Maisa. That's what the Rambam says. And the Rabbi is Masig, he says, that's not what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara has the expression Tanai Kodim LaMaisa, and it means that the Amiras HaTanai has to be before the Amiras HaMaisa, not just before Asiyas HaMaisa. It has to be before Amiras HaMaisa. In the formulation of the Tanai. But at all the Tanaim agree, you have to have Tanai Kodim Lamaisa. And then the third case where they disagree is if a person.
I have a potentially on Manasseh that my father was a Kodim, or my father was wealthy. That's the. Are you first you're doing the action, then you're doing
the Maisa. Not a valid Tanai. He has to say, if this, then the action should be Chal. If you say the action before you said the Tanai, so that's called Maisa Kodim Lamaisa.
So
not
what would be nice that the tradition mentions that it's just a concept, it's not the full Tanai that should be.
The Mishnah doesn't give you the whole text of the statement. It has to be formulated longhand. You have to say it Barichas. You have to say the whole thing Barichas. It says in Shulchan Aruch and in Eben Ezer that if a man is giving Kiddushin Lal Tanai or a Get Al Tanai and it's a long complicated Nusach, how to say, so if the man says, this get is ala Tanai if it rains tomorrow, in accordance with the rules and regulations that say in Shulchan Aruch, or that say in Parshas B'negar Neirul. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that that's acceptable. Even though you didn't say the hen kodim lalav and the Tanai kodim lamaisa, you said everything wrong, thank you. But if you say, and this Tanai should be in accordance.
The citation of where it is. You're citing where it is.
So that's a chiddush. That says in Shulchan, that's a whopper of a chiddush. He didn't formulate it properly, but since he refers, he says in accordance with the way it's supposed to be formulated, as it says in the Chumash and Tanai Meregam Neiruv. So even though he didn't actually spell it out, that's acceptable. That's the famous Chazanish has like that. Chazanish had a chiddush based on that din that everybody relies on in Eretz Yisrael. That if you buy fruits or vegetables from someone and you're not sure whether they're mafresh, chumas, or maisris, So you have to be mafresh. So you have to know what you're doing. So first you have to take a little bit and declare this should be truma gedoyla. You have to designate. Then you say the 10% after that, 10% of what's left after that should become maaser rishon, and 10% of that should become maaser menah maaser, and then 10% what's left after that should become maaser sheni. Then you put it in maaser sheni. So you gotta remember all this. Not everybody understands everything that's supposed to say. So the Chazon Ish says, if you just cut off a little bit and you say Hareni Mafish Kamashi Kosov Al Aluach, it says on the calendar, on the Luach, or it says in the Svarim what you're supposed to say. And I don't remember what you're supposed to say. I just say Hareni Mafish Kamashi Kosov Al Aluach. So he said, just like it says in Shulchan Aruch that that's acceptable for a Tanai, is considered as if he said the way you're supposed to say Hareni Masna according to the rules and regulations of Bnei Gadol and Reuven. So he says over here it's also good. So the others are not so keen about that. Everybody's makel on that. So others, remember the first time I visited Eretz Yisrael, so I had to bring money from the Rabbanim in America to Rabbi Beryl Soloveitchik. His main support used to be from America. So I visited him. So he was giving me his whole history of the world. So he was telling me all of his opinions. He was a very opinionated person. He was telling me all of his opinions about everything. So he was explaining to me why they're always makpid to be mafresh trumas and maisers, even though the Rabbanut took trumas and maisers. You have the food is on the hashgacha, you have to be mafresh again. Not chas v'shalom that we don't trust the Rabbanut. No, we trust the Rabbanut. But the Rabbanut relies on this kula, that the mashgiach a lot of times just says b'kitza, he just cuts off a bit, and he says, Hareini mafresh k'mosh kosem al aluch. And not everybody agrees with the Chazon Ish. Then he had other complaints also why he's not so convinced. The Rabbanut is reliable, but they rely on kulas. So the kulas are questionable.
Rabbi, how come that's enough? Maybe it's just not even 10%. I mean, how do you know you're thinking?
No, you have to make sure you're taking more than 10%. Okay.
How do you know?
You have to take a little bit more than 1%. You have to take a mashahu for truma gedoyla. Really supposed to give 2% for truma, give it to the kohanim. But Bizman said, no, none of the kohanim eat the truma because everybody's tamei. So you just mafresh mashahu for truma. Then you have to take out 10% for maaser rishon that you can eat petuma. But you have to take out 10% of the 10%, in other words, 1% of everything for maaser mina maaser. So that you have to burn. The mashahu for truma gedoyla you have to burn. And that 1% of the maaser mina maaser you have to burn. So you have to be mafresh a little more than 1% of the whole thing. And then you say, Hareini mafresh k'mosh kosov al aluach, whatever it's supposed to be, and I'm putting the maaser sheni wherever it is. And wherever it is because he's relying on what it says on the luach. So that's the question, is that acceptable? So the Chazon Ish is the one who came up with this chiddush. If it says in Shulchan Aruch that that's acceptable for the Tanai, even though he never formulated the Tanai properly, he says, I'm making the Tanai according to the rules and regulations the way I'm supposed to upset it. But he didn't say it. So that says in Shulchan Aruch, that's acceptable. So the Hafrashas Truma is also the same.
Why is Maaser Mina Maaser 1% and not just Mashahu if, like the Truma, we can't eat it?
That's what it says in Chumash. Maaser has to be 10%. And Varei Maaser Mina Truma Hashem, Maaser Mina Maaser. 1/10 of 1/10. That says in Chumash. You can't negotiate on that.
Oh, but Truma seems
to Truma Gedoyla never gives a shear. So Mina Torah can give Mashahu. The Gemara says you have a whole barn so big, like the Beis Medrash, full of kernels of grain. Take one little chitachas pateris is kolakri. One little kernel can remove the iser tevel on everything. It's not right to be so cheap. So lechatchil is supposed to give 2%. But if the kohanim can't eat it anyway, so what are you gaining by burning more tvua? So it's in Shulchan Aruch. You revert back to the din deraisa. You take a mashu. You take chitachas. But the maaser mina maaser. That says in Chumash, you got to take out 1% of the whole thing. That what? Yeah. So he said they're concerned, not Chalila that the Rabbanut is not careful. They are careful. But they rely on the Chazon Ish's Kula that he's not so thrilled about. They relied on another Kula also. The other kula was also a very touchy issue. A balabas has the wine company in Eretz Yisrael. What's the name of the famous
Carmel.
Wine? Carmel.
Carmel.
So Mr. Carmel is busy running around the world selling his wine. He doesn't have time the Gobi mafresh chumas and maises every time they bottle some wine. So he makes a mashgiach and he says, I'm appointing you as my shliach. The balabas is supposed to, the owner is supposed to be mafresh chumas and maises. If the owner doesn't have time, he appoints a shliach. So we have a rule, you cannot appoint a shliach on a dover shlo bali olam. And what you, milsa diyu la matzi ovid, shliach la matzi mashri. So Gemara knows it, daf yud beis. If the balabas himself is nishkin balabas, he himself can't do the maisa now. Let's say, I fell in love with a non-Jewish girl, I want to marry her, but she didn't convert yet, so she's going to convert next month. Next month I'm going to be in Eretz Yisrael. So I make a shliach that the day the girl converts, he should be mekadosher for me. But I myself can't be mekadosh the girl today. She didn't convert yet. She's a goyah. So the Gemara says, if she's not Jewish yet, milsa diyu lamatzi ovid, I myself can't do the maisa now. So I don't have the ability to appoint a shliach to do it later when it will be possible. So that's a problem by all the shlichim for hafroshes, trumas, and maises. All the companies and all the stores, they pick a rabbi, they pick a reliable mashgiach, and they say, I appoint you as a shliach to be mafresh, trumas, and maises. But Mr. Carmel didn't even buy the grapes yet. He didn't squeeze out the wine yet. So how can he appoint a shliach? So today he has wine in the factory. So he says to the rabbi from the hashgacha, I appoint you as a shliach to be mafresh, trumas, and maises. So that's good for today's wine. Tomorrow they're going to deliver more grapes, and the day after tomorrow they're going to deliver more grapes. He didn't even buy the grapes yet. So he himself can't be mafresh, trumas, and maises on the dovish lobali olam, and the grapes that he didn't buy. And next year's grapes didn't even grow yet. He's not memana the shliach every day all over again. He doesn't call him up every day and tell him, I bought some more grapes, go be mafresh. So the pashtus is that it's not valid. You appoint a shliach to be mafresh, trumas, and maises before you even have the peiris. So the pashtus says that it's no good.
But can't you say when it's going to happen, you should do it?
That's dovish laboli oilo. That's exactly what dovish laboli oilo.
So what's the
sells
him everything.
So on the Shulchan Aruch, if what?
But he sells him all his wine.
Well, he sells him the whole company.
The
but they don't do that.
But
he could. If he'll do it, that'll solve the problem. But he doesn't do it. He doesn't sell him the business.
Rabbi.
What that one? The grapes exist, but they don't belong to me yet. I didn't buy it. They didn't deliver it yet. That's also, the Gemara calls that also Davashala Baliyam. The Brooklyn Bridge is here, but I didn't buy it yet. So if I sell you the Brooklyn Bridge, if and when they sell me the Brooklyn Bridge, I'm selling it to you as of then. But I didn't succeed in getting it yet. So that's called Davish Labaliyam, even though it exists in the world, but I'm not the Balabos yet.
What does Rabbi not say to them?
So the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch is Mekel on that. Taisus in Nozer Es Takasha. It's Maisim Mechol Yoyim that the Balabosta goes shopping, and then she tells the Misharesses, the Jewish Misharesses, please bake challahs for Shabbos and don't forget to be Mafresh challah. So the Balabosta cannot be Mafresh challah on sacks of flour. The Mishnah says if you Mafresh challahs and kemach lo yosav lo klum, you can only be Mafresh challah after you mix the flour with the water. Because, man, you didn't mix it with the water, so it's a dovish labalayam, it can't be mafish. And nonetheless, it's maishim machal yom, every week, the balabosta leaves the house and she asks the Yiddish and Mishareses, make challahs and make cakes and cookies and don't forget to be mafish challah. So she appoints the Mishareses as a shliach to be mafish challah on a dovish labalayam. So Tosis gives a whole explanation why it's legitimate. And the Rambam gives a different explanation why it's legitimate. And the Tzoyis HaChoshen has a taina. He's not happy with this. He thinks that there's a Rashba in the Dorm who disagrees. So the Chazanish claims there never was such a Rashba. The Tzoyis HaChoshen misread the Rashba. So in Eretz Yisrael, everybody relies on that. But that's what Rabbi Beryl said. He's not so convinced that the Chazanish is right on this account either. The taina of the Tzoyis HaChoshen. The Tzoyis has a taina that it should be Dovish Lo Bali Olam. So he says he trusts the mashgichim from the rabbanut to find that they're mafrish, but he's not so convinced that al pidin they have the right to be mafrish because they were appointed a shliach when it was a dovish labali yalom. These are two tainas against the common practice in Eretz Yisrael. Hafroshes, trumas, and maisis.
So let's say I fashrat my chametz on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. I go to my rav, I give him the list of what everything, the handkerchief. And that means I can't buy any chametz between then and Erev Pesach?
You can buy all you want, but you should eat it all up before Pesach. You can't appoint the rabbi as a shliach to sell a chametz that you didn't even buy yet. That's why best is that you should come. Everyone, all the 500 Balabatim should come to the rabbi at the last minute. Because if they're going to come in advance.
They do that.
Yes. They know what they're doing. Yes. Because if they come a month in advance and they tell the rabbi, I want you to serve as my shlich to sell my chametz, they're going to buy more chametz before Pesach comes. So that's a problem. The Achrayim talk about that.
I saw people coming to the Rav, you know, they go to Florida in December and they fresh wrap the chametz beforehand. And I'm assuming they're buying chametz between then and
they're not here.
If the chametz that they're buying is in Florida and then they'll ask the rabbi in Florida to sell that chametz, that's fine. I mean, here they're selling the chametz that's here, and there they sell the chametz that's there. That would be fine. But a lot of times people appoint the rabbi as a shliach well in advance of Pesach, and they do buy more chametz in between, so it's a problem. So what everybody's relying on is that we say, Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan has a tshuva about this, and his sefer says, we assume that it's zochen liadam shalai befonav. We know the Balabas doesn't want to violate Bayurabai Matze, Baharai, he comes to the rabbi, yes, and rabbi, take care of it for me. So even on the chametz that he buys after he appointed the rabbi a shliach, so there's no minu shlichis, he can't be mana shliach on Dovishla Bali Olam, but the rabbi still has the right to sell the chametz based on Zachan Liadam Shlai Bifan. That's what the Ramah says in Shulchan Aruch. The Mishareses has the right to be mafrish chala, to be mafrish trimus and maises, based on zochel liyadam shleibefana. We're doing the balabasta tayve. That's what the ktesa cheshen has the taina that it's zochel meyadam. Zochel liyadam means if I want to give you a gift and you're not here, so I give the gift to someone else and he's zeicha on your behalf for you. Zochel liyadam shleibefana. Here it's zochel meyadam. The rabbi's selling my property. He's doing me a tayve to sell my property. So the ktesa cheshen claims that he has a Rashba and a Durim, a Raflam and Hay, where he thinks the Rashba says that you don't say Zach and Meyodim. So that's what the Chazanish said. There never was such a Rashba. We don't accept the Ksai Sachashin saying there never was such a Rashba.
You say Zach and Meyodim, and he often sell for even someone that didn't come to sell it to him.
Right, that's what the Rabbanim in Europe used to do. Even the Balabatim, who didn't come to Farshirai ibn Chametz, they would tell the Nochri, when they're selling Chametz, we're selling all the chametz of the Balabatim who signed up, who asked us to sell. And we're also selling all the chametz of the Balabatim who forgot to ask us to sell, because we know we're doing them a favor. They don't want to violate Bayur Rabbi Matzeh. They were selling everybody's chametz. From our community, I'm not going to sell the chametz from the Jews who live in Albuquerque. I'm selling chametz from my Balabatim who live in my community. It's my responsibility to do them a toivah.
Can you appoint someone to become a shliach effective as of a point in time?
Yes, if I can do it now. Let's say I want to.
That's what I'm saying. Tomorrow morning, when I own these grapes,
if I already possess the grapes now, and if I want, I can be mafresh trumus and maises now myself, then I can appoint you as a shlich. Let's say there's a girl. That's okay.
I'm making you shlich effective tomorrow at 10 o'clock. My grapes come in at 9.
Oh, no, but I don't own the grapes yet.
That's correct.
No, but right now it's a Dovish Labali Olam section.
So, grapes came in right now, he couldn't take off from his marriage. He doesn't become a
Shliach until 10 o'clock. So, Rav Meir holds like that. Rav Meir holds he can make a Kenyan on a Dovish Labali Olam. Rav Meir has your argument. Just like you can postpone the Minu Shlichas to later. See, by the time it's going to take effect, the Minish Lichas, the grapes will already belong to me, to Vosa Shlecht. And we don't accept Reb Meir's argument. We hold that it's worse.
The problem that you mentioned about the not Zoch and Meir sounds to me like that is meaningful if the Zocher, the one who's doing it, is going to become the Balbos before he can do so. He's not becoming Balbos, he's doing a Shlichas for the year Balbos. So there's no problem with Zochel Meyadim. It's Zochel Meyadim. He's providing the service of being a Shliach.
He's servicing the Balabas by selling his chametz. So the Tzai Sacheshin claims he read a Rashba saying that Zochel only works to enhance your possessions. I'm going to give you a box of Wheaties. You're not here, so I give the box of Cheerios to someone who is here. He should be kind on your behalf. But to take something away from you, that's Zochel Meyadim. He's the one who formulated that cliche. You only say Zochen Li Adam, you don't say Zochen Ne Adam. That's the Tzai Sachayshin's argument.
Can I appoint Cohen as my Shliach to take Shemesh?
Yeah, why not? What do you mean to take? To be Mafrish?
For himself.
Yeah.
For himself. That's
No, first he has to be mafrish the trumas and maises, and then he takes it. No. No, but when it's not at the same time. It comes in two steps, one after the other. The first step is when he declares this is truma, it belongs to the shevet kahuna. When it declares that this is maisa, it belongs to the shevet leviim. Then the second step is that I'm exercising my toivus anah, and I give him permission to take the truma, to take the maisa rishon. But that's the second step. And the first step is zochen me'adam. See, if I point to mashliach on the peres that I possess already, that's shlichus. That's the shlichus is a pasuk by hafrash as truma. Kein terim gam atem. As truma sashem gam l'rabbis is hashaliach. So one of the original sources for shlichus is by hafrash as truma to maisa. But if I point them as a shlich at a time that I don't yet have ownership of the payers, that's an issue. That's a problem.
If somebody's collecting money from Mahanis Tov Yonim, but let's say Rabbi Orlin is collecting money from Mahanis Tov Yonim a few days before Purim, so a lot of people give him. Does that work? Meaning, a few days before Purim, I can give Stam Tzedakah, but I can't fulfill Mahanis Tov Yonim 3 days before Purim.
You're making a shliach. He should take care of it for you.
Right, by making him the shliach right now, it's only 3 days before Purim. Right now, when I'm making the shliach, I can't fulfill my promise with Yonah.
Yeah, but you're still the balam on your money. You're the balabas on your money. So I give the money to him, and I say I want you to give it to Aniyim when it comes Purim. That's what he says. You're postponing the mina shlichus. I want you to be the shliach only on Purim, not before Purim. Going to give the money away before Purim, so I won't be yotze the mitzvah. Uh-huh. So I point you as a shliach. You should only act as a shliach on Purim to give away my money to the anim. So that's okay.
So davar shalavad olam goes on the money, not on whether or not I can fulfill the mitzvah.
Right.
At that point.
Right. They're supposed to burn the truma. Supposed to burn the truma to Meir. Yes. We assume that the hashgacha is good. I drink the caramel wine. We assume the hashgacha is a good. All the time. I remember there was a balabas who lived in Washington Heights who didn't trust the hashgacha of the rabbanut. So he once had a sabbatical. He was a professor in the university. So he had a sabbatical to teach in Eretz Yisrael for 1 year. And he used to manufacture his own wine, this balabas, this professor. He used to manufacture his own wine. So he once went into Carmel. He wanted to see. He told him, I make my own. I want to see, how do you make wine? So he comes in, and there's a government inspector watching that they're pouring all the wine down the drain. So he says, what's going on? So they said they take it off as a tax deduction, that 1% of all of the wine goes down the drain, Heilach Liibud, because they're mafrish mashuhu for Chuma Gdoila, and 1% for the Maisa Mena Maisa. So from that time on, he drank the caramel wine. He trusted. He said, if the government is watching to make sure that they're not cheating, then we know that they're mafrish Chuma Gdoila. Yeah, they're
mafrish.
Yeah, they're mafrish. Yeah, they always have to. They always have to throw out the maisa and amaisa.
No, they do it on a regular basis.
Yeah, whenever. They don't manufacture. The grapes don't grow all year long. There's a grape season and there's a season when they manufacture the wine. A couple of weeks.
That's a problem with Shemitah. They're not allowed to waste grapes that are grown to Shemitah. How do they reconcile that?
Got no choice. Had no choice. Shemitah is a question if it's chayv and truma. Shemitah is another question. Maybe Shemitah is not chayv and truma, because it's all hefker. It's another discussion. So we pointed out last week, just to review, that there are three cases in the Mishnayis where you have this machlokes Rav Meir and Chacham, where they say mechalal hein atoshem alav. The original machlokes is in kiddushin when you make a tanai, you give a get al tanai, kiddushin al tanai, mecher al tanai. Rav Meir says you have to say the hen and the lav, and the Chacham say mechalal hein atoshem alav. There's no need to say both. You say one is genuk. It's understood. The second argument is a Mishnah Shvuis, where there's a machlokes Rameh Nachachamim Hamakal Chaver B'Shem is loike. What if he didn't say the klala in a negative fashion? He says it the other way. He says the Rabbanu Shalom should never bless you. He means he should curse you. It means he should punish you, but he never said it explicitly. So that's a machlekes Amen Chachamim. Is that equivalent to a mekal chaver b'shem and he's loike? Or no, he never said it. He only inferred it. And the third machlekes is by shvua. If a person takes a shvua, I will not. Let's say someone invites me to eat by him, and I don't like him, so I say, I take a shvua, I will not eat any of your food. I will not eat any of your food. So he says, what if he takes a shvua? I will only eat the food that doesn't belong to you. So he never said, I will not eat the food that belongs to you, but that's what he's, in effect, that's what he said. But he never said it explicitly. So that, and the din is by shvua, you have to have levate b'sasayim. If Goma Baliba, someone made up his mind to accept the Shvua, it's not binding unless he says it. So that's the Machlekes, Hata does Gizok to Nachnish. So Meir says, Michalal Hen, Iyatar Shmei Alav. Nachnish Gizok, that's not called about the Bismas. And the Chachamim say that it is a good Shvua. So the Gemara in Shvuas has a Losh, and Tosis quotes it. The second Tosis from the top of Yud Zayin and Aleph. So Tosis quotes the Gemara in Shvuas, makes a distinction between Mamoina and Isura. That the whole machlekes Rami and the Chachamim is only a mamoina. But you say mechlal hein ato shmei alav. In Isura, even Rav Meir agrees that you do say mechlal hein ato shmei alav. So what exactly, what does it mean? The difference between mamoina and Isura is very unclear. And then Taisus has a whopper of a chiddush. Taisus, in a few places in the Dharm, writes like this, many Rishonim don't accept it. A difference between a neder and a shvua. The Gemara, the first piece of Gemara in the Dari makes a distinction between a neder and a shvua. The shvua is an isa gavra, and neder is an isa chefza. Let's say there's a cup of tea, and he wants to take a shvua, he's not going to drink the tea. So if he says hareni nishba, so it has to be balosh and gavra. I take a shvua, I will not drink the tea. But if he takes a hareni neder, he says I take a neder, the tea should be osa bachila to me. Neder has to be Beloshen Cheftze, and Shua has to be Beloshen Gavra. Shua is an Issa Gavra, that's how the Pasuk says, Lesser Issa Al Nafsho. Means it's an Issa Gavra. And Neder is an Issa Cheftze, I make the Cheftze like Hegdish. This should be Hegdish, it's also Bachila to me. So Taisis comes up, Taisis has Kashas, and in order to answer some of the Kashas, they still didn't answer all the Kashas, in order to answer some of the Kashas, Taisis came up with such a wild distinction. That since neder is an isa chefze, so isa chefze is like mamoina, so be mamoina it's a machlekes a meir nechachamim. But by shvua is an isa gavra, so that's isura. So there even Rav Meir would agree that you do say mechlal hein ato shmei alam. So that's very doichik, the whole distinction. Why should it make a difference mamoina and isura? The whole thing doesn't make any sense. So we mentioned last week that Rav Soloveitchik said he heard from his grandfather, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, a different interpretation in that Gemara. That Shavuah is daf lamed vav, they distinguish between Mamayna and Isura. Say it doesn't mean Mamayna versus Isura. It means the whole machlekes, everybody agrees that there is an inference. Mechlal hen, atashameya, is there a mashmos? Of course there's a mashmos. He says one, he means only this way and not that way. Everybody agrees it's a mashmos. The machlekes is, Rameya holds, Mechlal hen atashameya, it's a mashmos, but it's not nish gizakt. He didn't say it. And by Mekal Chaber B'Shem, if you curse someone b'machshava, you're not Chayv Malkus. Only if you say explicitly. And a neder and a shvur, the din is he need levate b'svasayim. You have to say it. If Goma Baliba, I made up my mind to take a neder shvur, tzorch lahotze b'svasav. Because man, you didn't say it, it's not binding. And the same thing by Tanai, the din is a Tanai has to have dibo mefurish. Everything has to be explicit. So Rav Meir holds, if you only say hen, you didn't say lav, there is a mashmois, the inference is clear, but he didn't say the both tzadim. By Tanai you have to have dibo mefurish, he has to say both. And the Chachamim say, does heis dibo mefurish. If he said one way and it's clear, the implication is clear and obvious, that's kilu he said the other way also. So that's the machlekes, that's what it means, mamayna. Mamayna means whenever you need dibo mefurish, then it's a machlekes or me'an Chachamim. That's why the machlekes only appears in three places in Shas, by Tanai, and by Mekal Chaver B'Shem, and by Nedar Meshvuas, where you need Dibur Mefurish. But by Isura, the Pasuk says, if you have a person is a Tomei Meis, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, person is a Tomei Meis, so you have to get Paraduma water, and you have to do Hazor Shlishi Yishvi, and then it'll be Tohar. So it says in the Pasuk, if it'll be Mazor Shlishi Yishvi, go to the Mikveh, then it'll be Tohar. So the Mashmois Mechlal Hen, If he doesn't have a Zohar Shlishi Shvi, he will not be Tahor. So it's obvious that that's what it means. So the Gemara says, Be'isura, all the Tanaim agree. A Mashmois there is. The inference is absolutely clear. The only Machlokes is, Tzudas Heiz Dibo Mefurish. By Dinam, you don't need Dibo Mefurish. The Boshlam doesn't have to say everything explicitly. With the Halacha, requires Dibo Mefurish. By Nidorim, and by Shvuas, and by Mikal Chaver, and by Tanai, by those cases.
So this is Be'isura, really. This is Be'isura.
The Gemara here is talking about a klala. The question is, did
it's isur.
When she accepts upon herself the klala, it says because of hakainus olas elabas, the kohen has to write down the klalas. So the question is that called the klala? The klala that's by inference. So that's a machlekes amen hachamim in Shavuos if that's called the klala. There they're arguing is it called the klala with respect to the kalach haver b'shem that you get malchus. So it's only called the klala if you say b'feirish. So the Gemara thought that it should be the same machlekes over here.
So what is the territory of Tankum? How does it fit into the Gemara?
So the simple reading is, no, this is so heavy a mashmoes, this is considered as if it's explicit. I would have wanted to say, like you're suggesting, you don't need Dibur Mefurish over here. All you need is the mashmoes is enough. But it doesn't sound like that's what Rav Tanfum is saying. It doesn't sound like it.
Why is your pine calling the mona Kabashal Hafla? It's called Lomit. Hafla should be more in the Surah. I don't understand the Lashon, why that would be Hafla is the mona.
It's a beautiful pshat, but it's hard to press it into the words of the Gemara. Maskim. It's a dechik to press it into the words of the Gemara. But that's what he thought. That the way it says in the Gemara, Mamayna versus Yisura, makes no sense at all. So he thought, Yisura means, is there an inference? The inference is clear. Mechlal hen, ato shemei alav. And Mamayna means, whenever you need Dibur, did he say it or didn't he say it? So that's the Machleg, Zameh Rabban. That's the last thing we learned last week. Yeah. Then the Gemara has a little bit of an agadita. The Mishnah says that the Kohen has to go into the Hechel, and he has to pick up the tile from the floor. He has to take off from Mikarka Mishkan and mix it into the cup of water. And then she has to drink the Maim Hamorim. So the Gemara has a comment. What does this represent? What is the offer supposed to represent? Tamei HaMitzvus, what does it represent? So the Gemara says, Omar Rove, this is about 20 lines from the bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Omar Rove, the line begins with the words, Mipnei Ma Omra Torah Havei Ofer L'Soita. What is the kavana? What is the reason for this mitzvah to mix in offer? So the Gemara Rav explains that you find offer in two different places. Zachsa, if the woman is innocent and she didn't do anything wrong and the husband is paranoid and he's chepping her for no good purpose whatsoever, then the pasuk says v'niksa v'nizra ozara. Even if she didn't have children in the past or she had difficulty having children, or Rashi quotes from the Medrash, if she used to be oled eshcharim, she'll be Yoled Eslevan. She used to have Shvartza babies. What does that mean? Yoled Eschayrim, so she'll be, whatever, not good looking, so she'll be Yoled Eslevan. She'll have prettier babies. So the Pasuk gives her a bracha. So then the Rava says she'll be Zeichet to have a child. Will be like Avram Avinu, who was so humble that he says, Anochi Ofer Va'efer, Ich bin garnished. And he really meant it. A lot of people say Anochi Ofer Va'efer, they don't mean it. But Avram Avinu really meant it. He was known for his humility. So if she's Zeichet, if she's innocent, so the offer will indicate what type of a child she'll be blessed with. Yetzim emen ebein, ke Avram Avinu, dichsib anech ofer veifer, a humble child. And Elizach saw, if she's guilty, and she deserves to be punished, and she'll die, misa mishune, is tachsa lafor, offer atav alafa tashuv. And the Rabbanu Shalom created Adam Rishon. So he said, offer atav alafa tashuv, you're going to drop dead, you're going to be buried in the offer. So this Maim Hamorim may turn out to Taivasa, she'll be blessed with wonderful children, and may turn out to Ra'asa, may cause her to die, and she'll become Ofer again. And once they quoted that Drasha, so they quote another Drasha from Rava. Dorish Rava. Yischar Shomar Avram Avinu Anochi Ofer Ve'efer. He made a comment on the Ofer Soita, she'll be blessed with a child like Avram Avinu said Ofer Ve'efer. So he has a comment on that. So because Avram Avinu spoke with humility in Ofer Ve'efer, Zocha Banov, the Shtei Mitzvahs, the Jewish people were rewarded because of Avram Avinu. They got the following two mitzvahs, Ofer Parah va'afar soitor. Efer is the ashes from the paraduma to me matar to meim, and afar soitor. Freg the gemar.
I mean, it's a mitzvah to the extent that, you know, it's...
Under the circumstances, yeah. If you have a case where a woman is a soita, so there's a way to solve the problem. There's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised a miracle at Dairis that she'll drink the Maim HaMarim and it'll determine whether she's innocent or guilty. So the Gemara says, why does Rav only say there are two mitzvahs, one with Ofer, one with Efer? There's another mitzvah. It says, V'chiso be'ofer. When you shech chickens, or you shech chai v'yoif, when you shech behemoths, there's no din of kisei adam. But when you shech chai or oaf, when you shech deer, or you shech turkeys or chickens, then there's a mitzvah of kisei adam with offer. And for the Gemara, yeah, there is a mitzvah, but you don't gain anything. There is no benefit. You do a mitzvah, but nobody makes anything, nobody gains anything from the mitzvah. Awesome, hechshe mitzvah ikah hanu aleka. As opposed to here, when you use the eifah par, you become tahor. And when you use the soita, drinks the maim amarm, she becomes mutaris lebailo. It has a positive effect. When you do kisei adam, so you fulfill the mitzvah. You did a mitzvah, but you don't gain anything. And these two, we gain by it. Hechsher mitzvah means a mitzvah. You did a mitzvah, but you don't gain. You personally, you don't gain. And these two, you do gain.
It's good, yes.
Right, the shechita is good even if you don't do kisei adam. Right, there is a Rabbeinu Hananel on Beitza, on the first paragraph of Beitza, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes it that even though this Gemara is clear that the shechita is mutter even without the kisei adam, but the Rabbeinu Hananel says that l'chatchila you shouldn't eat the flesh until you do kisei adam, because Taisus and Chulin points out kisei adam is considered the Gemara of the shechita. Mikra din, even if you don't do the kisei adam, the shechita is also kosher. But l'chatchila, you shouldn't eat the flesh until you do the kisei adam.
That deals with digging up the ground on Shabbat, on Yontif.
Right. The Gemara talks about how you do kisei adam on Yontif.
The Gemara is telling us that one mitzvah is more beneficial than another?
Yeah. No, you're gaining something by it. We do a lot of mitzvahs, but we don't have any gain from them. We do mitzvahs, mechuyif to do the mitzvahs. But the paradum mitzvah makes us tohar. Now we can do things that we couldn't do before. And the soita mitzvah, it allows the woman to go back and live with her husband.
But we don't do mitzvah again.
Correct. No, but still over here, you do gain. Here you are gaining. But the paraduma, he's gaining. He becomes tohar. Now he can do things that he wasn't able to do before. And the kisei adam, you don't get anything. You did a mitzvah. You get tzchar and olam haba for doing a mitzvah. Yeah. So once they quoted the memra of Rav, that the Jewish people were rewarded because Avraham Avinu was humble and he said, "Anochi Ofer Va'Efer." We were zeched to something because of Ofer. We were zeched to something because of Efer. They quote the other member of Rav, Dorash Rav, another comment. V'schar Shamar Avraham Avinu Michut Vatzrech Na. Last week Sedra, because he refused to take Emekach Mikol Shaloch after he won the war. So Melech Zedom said, "Ten Li Anefesh Orchush Kachloch," and he says, "I don't want anything. I'm not going to take Michut Vatzrech Na." So because he refused to take anything, Zochabonav l'shtei mitzvahs. The Jewish people were zechah to the two mitzvahs, Chut shel chelis and mitzvah tzitzis, and the ritzua shel tefillin. The tefillin strap is exactly the same as shoe straps. We use shoelaces today, but years ago, they used to use shoes like a chalitza shoe. So it has a strap exactly the same as the tefillin strap. One side is black, the other side is rough and white. Exactly the same. So because Avraham Avinu did a Kiddush Hashem and he said he's not going to take anything, not the chut, not the srach nal, zochabonav l'shtei mitzvah, chut shel tcheles, v'ritzua shel tefillin. So the Gemara asks also like before. This is a reward to the Jewish people as descendants from Avraham Avinu. We gain something by it. It's not something, the Rebbeinu Shlom gave us another mitzvah. He gave us 613 mitzvah. No, we're gaining something from it. The Gemara wants to know, what are you gaining? So the Gemara says, "Bishleim meritzua shel tefillin." When we wear tefillin, we gain, because the pasuk says, "Vero kalam heorski shem b'shem nikra lech v'yarmi meko." And Rabbi Lezer Gadol has a commentary: "The tefillin shebarosh." When we wear tefillin, so the Yom Hashoalim will be afraid to start up with us. V'yarmi meko, they will fear us. So we gain personally. We gain when we wear tefillin. Alachut shel tcheles, my, what do you gain by having tzitzis? A mitzvah. It's a mitzvah like all the mitzvahs. What personal gain do you get out of it? Mara says, no, the Tanya, you do gain. Because when you see the white strings of the tzitzis, you don't gain anything. But if you have treles, chutzal treles zokter, that's going to remind you, treles dama the kisei hakavod, so that's going to remind you of the kisei hakavod, and you'll have yirah shemayim. The Tanya Hayra Meirai, Memanish Tana Treles, Mikol Minitzivayin. Why did the Rabban Shalom single out this color from all the other colors? He could have required we should put red, we should put green, we should put the orange, any other color. The answer is Mentesh, Atreles Daima Layam, because the Treles comes from Machalozon, which is in the sea. So it's the same color, the blue color of the sea. Yam Dormala Rekia, the color of the sky. Rekia Dormala Kisya Kovit, Shinemra Vayuras Eloke Israel. On the occasion of Maimon Hasina, V'tachas Raglov Kemasei Livnas HaSapir V'chiyetzem HaShamayim L'Tohar V'chsiv Kemare Evan Sapir Demus Kisei. The Kisei in Yecheskel, Yecheskel Nabi saw the Kisei HaKovod. So it says there in the Maisim HaKovod that the Kisei HaKovod is the same color as Evan Sapir. And it says Livnas HaSapir is Kiyetzem HaShamayim L'Tohar, same color as the sky. So you see, when you see that treles is the same color as the sky, that's the same color as the kisei hakavod. So a person will gain yirah shamayim. The idea behind looking at the color, when you see the treles, it'll remind you of the kisei hakavod. So that's a gain. You're going to gain by that. Yeah, what's the pashup shat in the pasuk? That doesn't seem to be the pashup shat. Means that they're going to see that we're wearing tefillin. How does Shem Hashem mean tefillin? So Rashi says because the Bayis Shel Rosh has to have a shin on it, and then the Kesher Shel Rosh has to have a dalet, and the Kesher Shel Yad has a yud. So shin dalet yud is Shem Hashem. Shin dalet yud is one of the Zayin Shem Hashem Nimchokim. The Gemara in Shavuos lists off the seven names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it's forbidden to erase. So Rashi claims that you have the Shin Dalet Yud. Tosis argues with Rashi. Tosis and Brochus argues with Rashi. They say the fact that it should have look like a Dalet, it should look like a Yud, that's not part of the Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. That's a Minig, that's the Rabbanon. The Gemara just says, Kesher Shel Tefillin Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, that there should be a Kesher, that it should be Betzuras Dalet, Betzuras Yud. Tosis claims that's only with the Rabbanon. That's not Benatar. So the shin is a shin. That's shin shel tefillin. That's Allah al Moshe Mitzvah. Where do you have Shem Hashem? So Taisus says, not like Rashi. Okay, not like Rashi. Doesn't refer to the kesher, the shin dal yud. So the question is, what's the pashup shat in the pasuk? That's clearly not pshuto shel mikra. V'ro kalama Shem Hashem nikra alecha. The yorim imeka, they will be afraid to start up with you. What is the pashup shat? So they quote from the Vilna Gaon and the Aderes Aliyah. They quote on Chumash. The previous pasuk says "Vahalachta bedrochav." It's in Parshas Kisavai, right next to the Teichecha. So the pasuk says "Vahalachta bedrochav." We should. Everyone was created b'tzelem elokim. So the Baruch Shalom says, since we all have within us, we were born with tzelem elokim, so we are mechuyev to preserve that tzelem elokim. "Vahalachta bedrochav." Mahu chanan afatochan, mahu racham afatochan. Not that we're trying to imitate the Ribbono Shel Olam to make believe that we are something that we are not. A person imitates someone else, he makes believe he's someone that he is, and he's going to get a nervous breakdown. He's going to become a sugar. So it's not that you're trying to act like someone whom you are not. We are. We all were created, but Tzelem Elokim. So the Ribbono Shel Olam commands us all, V'halachta bidrachav, you should preserve that Tzelem Elokim. Preserve all the midas tovus that flow out of the fact that you have Tzelem Elokim. Then the next pasuk says, "V'ro kalam hiorot." When all the people will see that you have succeeded in preserving your tzelem elokim, kishem Hashem nikra alecha, you have preserved your tzelem elokim. V'yaru mimekel, they will learn from you how to act with yirah shamayim, because they were also created with tzelem elokim. So if we can do it, they can do it also. And the Jewish people are supposed to serve as an or lagoyim. The Navi says, and Navi Yishai says, Jews are supposed to serve as an or lagoyim. Or lagoyim in what area? What Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha? That's not negated. That means an honesty. Honesty in business and honesty in the Knesset and honesty. There shouldn't be cheating and so on. You have a clean country and everything. So we're supposed to serve as an Or LaGoyim in the areas that are Shaykh to the Goyim. So that's the Pshuto Shel Mikra. V'ro Kalamash Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha. When the Umas Olam will see, and we're supposed to lead our lives in such a way that we should serve as an Or LaGoyim. when they will see that we have succeeded in preserving our Tzelem Elokim, and they'll realize they can do the same, the Yorim and Mecca, they will learn from us how to act with Yirah Shemayim.
Why does it not just say Shatela's Goma Larakia? I can see the Rakia. I don't need to go first Yam, and then the Yam is like the Rakia. I can look up and see
that. I don't know. It's a very good question. The Mefarshim discuss it. I don't remember. They give Doichik Pshatim. The question is better than all the answers they give. They just say that the Chalazon is a sea animal. So therefore it has the same color as the ocean. The ocean reflects the color of the sky. I don't know. Why doesn't it just go direct? I don't know. They quote from the Arizal. How come... Right. Rashi and Chumash says the color of the sky at midnight.
It's
still a question. Why not go directly to the sky, he's asking.
Yeah, but why?
Okay, still a machlokes. Rashi says the color of the sky at midnight, so it's dark. And the Rambam says the color of the sky in the afternoon, so it's light blue, middle of the day, yeah.
But the yam reflects at any given point in time. The yam reflects the color of the sky. So yeah. If I look at the wrong time at the sky, I'm also going to have the wrong answer. If I look,
yeah. I don't know. There's a comment that they quote from the Arizal. How come is Manazeh nobody has any tchelas? How come how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow such a tragedy to occur that the tchelas got lost 1,000 years ago? How could the Rebbeinu Shlomo allow such a thing to happen? So the Arizal is quoted as having said that the Iker Toelis of Tchelis is only Bizman Shei Beis HaMikdash HaYikayim. Bizman Shei Beis HaMikdash Kayim, you don't gain so much. You mukhif to wear Tchelis. The days of the Tanoim and Amoraim, they were all after the Churban HaBais and they all wore Tchelis till the middle of the Tkuvas HaGayim. They had Tchelis. But that's what the Arizal says. It's not such a great tragedy because the Iker Toelis of wearing tchelis is only Bizman Shei Beis HaMikdash HaYikayim. Why? Why in the world should it be connected with Bizman Shei Beis HaMikdash HaYikayim? The some explain what he's talking about based on the Gemara in the end of Brachas. The Gemara says in the end of Brachas that the different Brachas, when you see beautiful mountains, inspiring mountains, when you see thunder, you hear thunder, you see lightning, you see oceans, you see the Grand Canyon, there are different Brachas for all of these things. So the Gemara says, when you see the Rakia b'taharasa, see a beautiful clear sky, beautiful blue sky, so you say a bracha. So then the Gemara says, v'yom shachar beis hamikdash, we don't say that bracha anymore because the Rakia is no longer the right color blue. It's the wrong color. It's not the correct color. So they say that's what Arizal meant, that it's the wrong color blue. The Gemara says, the Rakia b'taharasa, after the Churban beis hamikdash, it's not blue the way it's supposed to be. It's the wrong color blue. No. Take it or leave it. But the Tanoim and Amoraim did wear tchelis. It's the wrong color blue. If it comes from the Chalazon, then it's blue. So that's what it's supposed to be. Yeah. Now the Mishnah goes into the Ksiva. The Soita has to take the Shvuah, and then the Kohen has to write. Because of HaKohen, so Allah Seila Basefer. So the Mishnah discusses, what does that mean? Because of Hakayinah, Sa'ala Sa'ala, Ba'a Sefer. Usually when it says Ba'a Sefer, it means on parchment. By get, when a man divorces his wife, it says, Kosovo Sefer Krisis V'nasam B'yada, so the Gemara has a Havamina. Maybe only Sefer Krisis parchment. What if you write the get on a piece of paper? So the Gemara has a Riboy, that's also acceptable. You can write on a blackboard, you can write on a piece of wood, you can engrave it on a piece of metal, however you want. You don't need dafke sefer parchment. But the pshuto shel mikra, the word sefer means parchment. So here it says, v'kasa ha-koin, v'sa'ala se'ela, ba-sefer, here it means parchment, and there is no pasuk to be marba other things. It has to dafke be parchment. So the Mishnah says, ein ha-kais v'lo al ha-luach, Rashi says, shalates, you don't write on a piece of wood, v'lo ya-ha-ni-yor, you don't write on a piece of paper. You don't even write on parchment that wasn't fully treated chemically, that it should be considered parchment. You have to have maliach, kamiach, ofitz. They have different stages in the treating the hide to convert it into parchment. It has to be parchment. El al hamigillah. As we dafke shenema basefer. And the word basefer means parchment. Over there by the get, we have a rebuy that other backgrounds are also acceptable. Here there is no ribuy, so you need dafke parchment. You cannot write with indelible ink that's going to get absorbed into the parchment and you won't be able to erase it. The Chumash says you have to erase it, you have to dip it into the maimar and erase all of the ink. The ink is not poisonous, doesn't taste good. The sand is not poisonous either, just doesn't taste good. So you're not supposed to use kankantum. What about when you write a Sefer Torah? It doesn't have to be indelible ink. What's the din? If you wrote a Sefer Torah with ink that can't be erased, Sefer Torah, there is no mitzvah to erase. So the Gemara in Erevin has this, Erevin Daf Yud Gimel, this Tosis quoted. They quoted Yerushalmi a little bit, they don't really quote it. Gemara in Erevin, here the Tosis Shenemar quotes a Yerushalmi, but it's really a Bavli in Erevin Daf Yud Gimel. The Gemara says, there is a machlokes satanayim, very strange, where the moichkin lo min ha-Torah, ein moichkin lo min ha-Torah. The Sota comes to the Beis HaMikdash, and instead of wasting time to write the Megillah Sota and then to erase it, I'm going to take a Sefer Torah, a ninth file, I'm going to take a Sefer Torah, and cut out that parchment, that parsha, and I'll erase that. Is that acceptable? So the Gemara says, there's a machlokes satanayim. Do you require ksivas parsha Sota lishmo? Has to be written for... Well, no, this was written l'shem Sefer Torah. It wasn't written l'shma. Someone said last week, for sure he would be in violation of Maridin. Malam HaKadosh v'lo Maridin. Not allowed to take a parshias from the Sefer Torah, convert him into tefillin or into mezuzah, because Sefer Torah is a higher level. So certainly take the parsha from the Sefer Torah to erase it from the Gila Saita. L'chara, for sure that's a violation of Maridin. So Maridin, you did wrong. But the question is, would it be good b'dievit? If you did that with the Saita and nothing happened, and she didn't turn colors and she didn't drop dead, we assume that you fulfilled the Seder Hashkas HaSaita and it's a proof that she's innocent and the husband can go back to live with her? They say, no, that was a pasul of Megillah Saita, wasn't written Lishma. The Gemara has a machlekes hatanaim, do you need ksiva Lishma? So the Gemara has this strange idea. The Gemara says, if the din says, Mechkin la min ha-Torah, if you don't need ksiva Lishma, and you can take the Parsha Saita from the Sefer Torah and erase it for a Saita, and that'll be the Hashkos HaSaita, then the din requires that you're not allowed to write Parsha HaSaita in the Sefer Torah with kankantum, with indelible ink. Because since it's called no one in his right mind is going to use a Sefer Torah to erase. Even if the din says it's kosher b'diyevet, v'chatchili, you're not allowed to do it. But since b'diyevet, if you did it, it would count according to that Tana, so therefore it's called Parsha HaSaita. Parsha Saita has to be written in ink that lends itself to be erased. So if you're going to use kankantum, it cannot be erased. So you didn't write a Parsha Saita. The Parsha Saita, if you hold a Moichkin lo min ha-Torah, the Megillah Saita has to be written l'shmo. Sefer Torah was written l'shem Sefer Torah. It wasn't written l'shem Saita. So then the Parsha Saita in the Chumash is not called Parsha Saita. It's Parsha Nasai, but it's not called the Megillah Saita. So then you can write the Sefer Torah, including that parsha in ink that cannot be erased. But if the din is that the Yevit, if you use the parsha Saita and the Chumash for a Saita, would be good, means that I label that as that those few lines of Chumash are called Megillah Saita. So that's the halacha. Megillah Saita has to be written in ink that cannot be erased.
So would it have to be written by a Kohen as well?
Yeah. Then it would have to be, the Gemara doesn't say it, but based on Agamar, it would have to be written by Kohen. Because here the Megillah Saita has to be written by Kohen. Then it would have to be written in order. Just like Tefillin and Mezuzah have to be written in order. So the Parsha Saita also has to be written in order. The first letter first, second letter second, third letter third. So how come the Gemara doesn't say that? The Gemara just says you can't write it in indelible ink. They should have said it has to be written Kisidron. It has to be written by Kohen. I don't know. That's how the Mishnah concludes. You cannot use kankantum in the ink of the Parsha Saita. V'loy b'chol davish sheroshem, if it's going to be indelible, ela bidyo, only an ink that does lend itself to be erased. Ema, umocha. He has to erase it. Ksav sheyochel imocha. It has to be ink that lends itself to be erased.
You would have to first write a Torah after you mashpia a sota too. What if you don't have a sota for a couple of generations? What are you after?
It's a pella. So the Bavli says, our Gemara says on our daf, it says because of Hakoyin is all sa'ela. The Kohen doesn't write psukim; he writes the curses. So first, you have to say it. Kol Zman she didn't say, the Kohen says it and she says Amen. So Kol Hayin Amen Kilo Hotzi Shavua Mipiv. So once she says Amar Hayish Amen Amen, it's considered as if she said it. So first she first the Kohen and she have to say it. After they say it, then Makasav Hakana Sa'ala Se'ela Basev, he writes the Klavas. That's how it says in the Gemara. So he asks, what do you mean, Mach Kilo Min HaTorah? What do you mean? They wrote a Sefer Torah after she took the Klala, and then they're erasing it. The whole case is crazy. So it sounds from the Gemara that the Sefer Torah was written a long time ago. So Tosis quotes an opinion from the Yerushalmi that's Choylik on the Bavli, that Bedavka Fakert. The Parsha Soita has to be written Bedavka before she takes the Shavuah. In other words, Parsha Soita requires you write Psukim from the Chumash. The Bavli assumes you don't write Psukim from the Chumash. You write the text of the Shavuah that she said. The text of the Shavuah has to be Kechsova, the way it says in the Chumash. But you're not writing Psukim, you're writing it Betoris Olus. You're writing Betoris Klolus.
Are you going to write Chachmila Sefer Torah that you know you're
going to solve? The Pashto says that's Maridin. That's what they tie in the last week. That should be a violation. Malam HaKadosh V'lo Maridin. I wrote it L'shem Sefer Torah, and then I'm going to use it to for Megillah Sota.
It's also Sefer Torah, but Pashto itself is kosher.
Yeah. Yeah, the rest of the Sefer is
possible. Also not, that's also a violation of Marina. If you have a... Also.
He's usually the Gmar Mitzvah.
But still, that's called Marina. Let's say you have an old Sefer Torah, has so many mistakes, it doesn't pay to correct it. It'll be less expensive to write a whole brand new Sefer Torah. So you're going to put it in the Seamus anyway. You're going to bury it anyway. So try to salvage as much as you can to take out Shema V'Hayom Shemaya from Bezuza, take out Kaddish HaKeviyacha for Tefillin. The Gemara says, no, it's a violation of Marid. Aye, but the alternative is going to go in Seamus. You're going to bury it. Still, it's better to bury it rather than to be Maridin. To use it for a low level of Kedusha is not allowed. So even if you have an old Sefer Torah that you absolutely can't fix up, you can't use it, but L'chara to erase these few Psukim, as Megillah Sota would be a violation of Maridin. But a violation, hind violation, Morgan, but it'll still be good. If you hold you don't need Ksiva L'shma, it'll still be good. You violated Maridin, but it'll still be good. So the Gemara goes into some of the details of the Hilchas Ksivas Megillah Sota. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi the Amaroim. The Amaroim, they discontinued the Maim Amarim years before the Churban Bayis Sheni. We learned in the end of the Mesichta, the Gemara says that the Maim Hamarim are a miracle that was promised L'doris. Usually, Ein Samchem Al Hanes, you're not supposed to rely on a miracle. Here, the Rabbanu Shalom promised a miracle L'doris, and whenever it'll be a Saito, so this is the way to test whether she's innocent or guilty. Have a drink, the Maim Hamarim. So the Gemara points out from the Psukim, the miracle only is promised, the miracle is only going to work if the husband is a neifstendige mensch, if he himself has integrity. If he's running around with prostitutes all the time, or the children are running around with prostitutes, and everybody's parutz, a generation, everybody's parutz, so then the Rabbanu Shalom does not promise the miracle. He doesn't deserve a miracle. He himself is not medactic with his children. All of a sudden, he chepes the wife. Who is he to chepe the wife? He himself is nothing special. So the Gemara says that towards the end of the Bayis Sheni, there were so much preachers, they discontinued the Maim Amarim, because the miracle doesn't apply. So the Amaroim are discussing a din that used to be hundreds of years before. They're adding on dinim. Omar Rav Megillah Sota Shekasva Balayla Psula. Has to be written dafka bayom. A Sefer Torah can be written by yom or balayla. Tfilin, even if you hold the layla, there's a machlekes where the layla is man tfilin, layla loves man tfilin. You're not allowed to put on tfilin balayla, at least mid the rabbanon. Zereshem yishem behem shem yafich behem. People usually go to sleep at night. When people sleep, a lot of times they pass gas. So that's not proper to wear tefillin if you know that you don't have a guf noki, that the person is going to urinate in the middle or he's going to have to pass gas in the middle. So it's not proper to wear tefillin. So balayla, for sure you don't wear tefillin, at least mid the rabbanon. And half of the tanaim hold min haTorah, it's an isser, because the pasuk reads of shamarta sechucha hazos lamayada miyamim yamima. So that's a machlekes hatanaim. We learned it in the last perek in Erevin. The last perek in Arvin is Hamoite Tefillin, has a lot of halachas of Tefillin. So the Gemara has a machlekes satanaim. Shamarta sachukah hazos refers to chukas haPesach. You should observe the mitzvah of Korban Pesach miyamim yamima annually. Every year on Erev Pesach you should offer a Korban Pesach. Shamarta sachukah hazos refers to chukas haTefillin, Yamim Yamima daily. Every day you should observe the mitzvah tefillin, and Yamim Yamima Yamim v'lo leilos. So if you hold b'chukas tefillin akasa medaber, then we assume it's a din d'oraisa, you're not allowed to wear tefillin b'layim. If you hold b'chukas ha-pesach akasa medaber, so mehechateisa, why should you think that that tefillin is only by yom and not by laila? So it's only by the rabbanon that we don't permit you to wear tefillin by laila, because shema yishem b'hem and shema yafiach b'hem. So let's say someone, a sefer, wants to write, he has a job in the daytime, at nighttime he writes tefillin, and he holds tefillin loves man, laila loves man tefillin. So some raise the question, maybe it's a psul of tasav loy min osim. He writes the tefillin by laila, and the tefillin can't be used by laila, so maybe it's tasav loy min osim. So the Achrenim say that that's a joke. You construct the sukkah before Yontif. You can't use the sukkah before Yontif. By sukkah there's a din of tasav loy min osim. So as long as you did an asiyah, it's not meaningful now. But still, you did an asiyah, so it's not tasav loy min osim. It's the same over here. If you write tefillin by laila, that's okay. If he tight sitzes by laila, even though, let's say, laila is lav zman sitzes, tight sitzes by laila is an asiyah, it's not a problem of tasav loy min osim. So here he has a din, Megillah Seifa Shekasva Balayla Psula. He can't write a Megillah Seifa Balayla. Why? My timer, Agzerah Shava, Asya Teira Teira. Rava has Agzerah Shava. Ksiv Hocho, it says by the Parsha Seita and Parsha Snosai, Vosa Lohakoinas Akola Teira Hazais, the word Torah appears, Ksiv Hosan by the Zokamami Parsha, it says, Alpia Teira She Yerucha Bala Mishpot, Ashiya Melchota Haseh, so just like over there by the Zakam Mamri, it's only by Yom, so to over here it's only by Yom. What's over there by Zakam Mamri is only by Yom? Well, what aspect of the Zakam Mamri is only by Yom? Which aspect of the Zakam Mamri is only by Yom? So that's what Rashi and Tosfos have a whole machlokes. So Rashi says has nothing to do with Zakam Mamri. A din Torah has to begin by Yom. The Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, done by Yom, the Gomer by Laila. Chilas Yeshiva's Bezdin, by Din Imamin, it has to begin by Yom. Once the Yeshiva's Bezdin was Nikva by Yom, then they can have, let's say, now the Shkia is very early. So once you started a din Torah by Yom, you can continue into the middle of the night, because it's just a din of Chilas Yeshiva's Bezdin. So Rashi quotes the Pasuk, and how do you know that Chilas Yeshiva's Bezdin has to be Yom? So Rashi quotes a Pasuk. So Tosfos says, what in the world does that have to do with the Zakam Mamre? We're learning that from a Pasuk of Zakam Mamre. So Rashi says, no, the Pasuk of Zakam Mamre has the word Torah and it has Mishpat. What does it say? Al pi ha-Torah she-yaruch v'ala Mishpat Hashem l'chot ta'aseh. So Mishpat refers to a din Torah, and Torah is Torah. So it's a gzera shava Torah, Torah, and there it says Torah in connection with Mishpat, and Mishpat is like A is connected with B, and B is connected with C, and C has to be by Yom. It's a funny gzera shava. Mishpat means that din Torah and din imamenes. This is Tainus against Rashi. Who's talking about din Torah and din imamenes? We're talking about a Zaka Mamri over here. The Taisa says a Zaka Mamri is a case of din and nefashes. So din and nefashes, not only do you require that the tchilas yeshivas bezin, the kviyas ha bezin should be by Yom, we're more machmen. Din and nefashes done by Yom, begorma by Yom. The Gmar din has to be by Yom. So the Pasuk Mishpat is not referring to a Mishpat, the din Torah of din imamenes. It's referring to a Bezdin, a Sanhedrin that's being done din in nefashes. The problem is that's not what the Pasuk is talking about. The Pasuk is neither talking about a din Torah nor is it talking about a din in nefashes case. It says the Zaken Mamre is put to death because he's not listening to the Psak of the Bezdin HaGadol. We're all supposed to follow the Psakim of the Bezdin HaGadol. Apti HaTorah SheYarucho VaLaMishpat HaShiyam Melochot Ta'aseh. It's neither talking about din imamim, it's not talking about din and nefashos. They're both pshatim are difficult. Rashi and Tosfos, they're both difficult. I don't know. Ashver gemara. Rava came up with that drashin. It's like zereshava Torah, Torah. So just like over there, the word Torah is in the context of mishpat, which has to be by Yom. So the ksivas parsha soita has to take place by Yom. How can you say that's the question? How can you say mechkelam in a Torah? Maybe the sefer Torah was written by Laila. Means we know that this parsha of Soita was written by Yom. Okay? We know it was written by a Kohen.
Hashkor could be the next day. In other words, Hashkor could be the next day.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, so it could be a 2-3 day process as well as by Yom.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. Then he comes up, Rava comes up with a Tzveta Chiddush. Ksav l'mafreya psula. You have to write it in order. In the Sefer Torah, there is no such din. by tefillin and mezuzah, that's a mechilta. And the Gemara doesn't say, and the mechilta says you need ksiva kesidron. You have to write Shema Yisrael, Shin, and then Mem, then Ayin. You can't write backwards. You have to write in order. And if by mistake you left out a letter, you can't correct it later. A sefer Torah, if you left out a letter, can correct it later. And Megillah and Mezuzah and Tefillin cannot be corrected later. You need Dafke Ksiva Kesidra. Ksava Lamafreya is no good. The Ksiv Kasav is Holos Ha'ele. What do you mean Ha'ele? As they were said. Ki Dechsiva. As it's written in the Chumash, that's how you have to write it in order. And then Ksava Kodim Shetikabal Aleo Shvu Psula Shedema Vishbiya Chakach Lekosav. He has to write klolus, not that's the word. The Torah doesn't say he should write psukim. The psukim tell you what the text of the shvu is. After she takes the shvu, then it's v'skasav hakoyin, it's ha'olos ha'ele. He writes the shvu, he writes the klolus. So before she took it, it's not yet a klolus. He's just writing psukim. That's not valid. That's what Tosfos quotes. The Yerushalmi has an opinion, punkt fakert, that the kohen has to write the Megillah Sota Dafke before she takes the shvu. But we follow the Bavli. We follow whenever there's a contradiction between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. So the Rif has postulates the klal in the end of Erevin. Says whenever there's a stira, we assume he writes a historical assumption. We assume that the Yerushalmi was completed way before the Bavli. Yerushalmi was written by the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan, next generation. Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan. The Bavli was written a few generations later. So the Rif assumes that the Chachmei HaBavli knew everything that it says in the Yerushalmi, and if they disagree with the Yerushalmi, you say Hilchos HaKibasroi. Since they took everything into consideration and they said Fakert, so we pass them like the later Chachamim. So that's the big question, is that really factually true? The Chachmei HaBavli knew everything that it says in the Yerushalmi. So they bring a Raya, yes, because every so often the Gemara will allude to something, and then never the Bavli will never tell you what it is, and it's a story in the Yerushalmi somewhere. So there you have it. You see that the Chachmei HaBavli, who edited the Ravina Ravashi, who edited the Talmud Bavli, were aware of everything that it says in Talmud Yerushalmi. Others say, no, this story was a famous story. The story at the time they wrote the Bavli, this story was a famous story. It doesn't necessarily mean they knew it from Yerushalmi. The story was in the air. Everybody was talking about that incident. So that's books and books were written about that. Is the assumption of the Rif correct that the Chachmei HaBavli knew everything that it says in the Yerushalmi? Then every so often, the Rambam usually follows the Rif. It's rare that the Rambam is going to paskin against the Rif. The Rambam has quite a few places where he paskins like the Rishalmi against the Bavli. That's what we mentioned, that every so often there's a problematic Rambam. The Rambam doesn't seem to paskin like the Maskonas HaGemara. So the standard Noisei Kelim, the Kesef Mishnah, the Lecha Mishnah, the Mishlam Melech, are printed on the Daf, so they try to be Miyashev. How did the Rambam kvetch us from the Bavli, the maskona that he got? It doesn't seem to correspond to the way we read it. They say the Rambam is bothered with Tosfos Kash, and therefore he held that this Gemara is Tosfos and Chelek and whatever. They stand on the head to give terutzim how the Rambam's psak corresponds to the Bavli. And the Vilna Gaon writes, no. Kedarka lipsik bekama mekamis kedas ha-Yerushalmi keneged ha-Bavli. The Rambam will often paskin like Yerushalmi is against Bavli. The former chief Rabbi Gorin put out a whole sefer of HaRambam v'HaYerushalmi. He quotes all many, many places where the Rambam paskins like the Yerushalmi. The Vilna Gaon has a few places. Rabbi Gorin has five times as many cases where the Rambam paskins like Yerushalmi is against Bavli. So that's problematic. The Rambam usually follows the Rif, and the Rif has this big position, the end of Erevin, that we always follow the Bavli against the Yerushalmi. Here the Rambam doesn't follow that Rif. Anyway, but here we follow the Bavli. The Bavli says, first you have to take the Shvua, and then you write it. And Tosfos quotes Yerushalmi, says, Fakir. Then the Gemara says, Ksava Igeres Psula. If you write the Megillah Sota like an Igeres, it's not kosher. Why? Because Basefer Omer Achmon. It says, Vakasav Hakoinus Olaseila Basefer has to be like a Sefer. So if you write it Igeres, it's not acceptable. Vas haistani Igeres is a letter. So what's an Igeres? So Rashi has a fantastic assumption. Bali sirtut. You have to have lines. You have to scratch out lines in the parchment. Just like a Sefer Torah needs sirtut. So this is also Kosa Kana Sa'ela Sa'ela Bas Sefer. It doesn't have a shame Sefer. unless it has sirta in every line. Sefer Torah needs sirta. Is that true? Sefer Torah needs sirtut. So that's what Rashi quotes. Rashi claims Sefer Torah needs it. How do you know? Because as the Gemara, Rashi learns the Gemara Megillah the same. The bottom Tosis, a famous Tosis. The bottom Tosis quotes is the Gemara Megillah, Daf Yotes, where the Gemara says the Megillah Sester is referred to in the text of the Megillah, Divrei Shalom Ve'emes. They wrote Divrei Shalom Ve'emes. So the Pashup Shand in the Pasuk means they sent letters to all the Jews and all the Sheva V'yesim and Me'a Medina. Everything is peaceful. The Gzera V'Achashverosh is off and Haman was killed. And things are back to normal now. Divrei Shalom Ve'emes. The Gemara has an additional level of interpretation that not knowing that they sent letters. The Megillah Sester is part of Tanakh and it's Divrei Shalom Ve'emes. What does it mean? It's Kamnito Shel Torah. It's like the real McCoy, like the real Sefer Torah. So what does it mean? So Rashi says, Kamito Shel Torah, you need, the Gemara says that you need Sirtut in the Megillah Sester, just like you need Sirtut in a Sefer Torah. So Rashi learns that's what it says in the Gemara. A Sefer Torah needs Sirtut. The Megillah Sester also needs Sirtut. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. There is no such din that a Sefer Torah needs Sirtut. It doesn't say anywhere. The Gemara in Menachos and the Megillah draws a distinction between Tefillin and Mezuzah. The Gemara says Tefillin do not need Sirtut and Mezuzah does need Sirtut. Tefillin do not need Sirtut and Mezuzah does. It's Allah al Moshe Mesinai that Mezuzah needs Sirtut. On Sefer Torah there is no such Allah al Moshe Mesinai. So Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Sefer Torah does not need Sirtut. So what does the Gemara say? The Megillah Sester is Kamito Shel Torah. So Tosfos says, Abinah Tam says, Amito Shel Torah means the real McCoy, means a mezuzah. Why is a mezuzah the real McCoy? Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad? Monotheism. That's Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. Parsha Vishayna, or Kriya Shema, is Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. The Mishnah says, Lama Kodma Parsha Shema Lebahayayim Shemaya. Why do we recite for Shema? Because Parsha Shema has Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. And the Rambam says, Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim consists of three parts. Yichud Hashem, Manatheism, Ahavasai, and Talmudai, to learn Torah, Vishinantam Lubanecha. So the Rabbeinu Tam learns that's called Amito Shel Torah. The real McCoy means the mezuzah. Sefer Torah doesn't need Sirtut. According to Rashi, whenever it says the word Basefer, a Sefer, Sefer Torah, needs Sirtut, so the Megillah says it's called the Sefer, so a Get needs a Sirtut also. So it's because of all Sefer Krisus. So that's why we're machmer, that before you write the get, you scratch in lines and you make sirtut on the get, because according to Rashi, it should come out. Anytime it says the word sefer, a sefer has to have dafke sirtut, agroi sechidish. So Tosfos doesn't agree. Tosfos says that it's not true. So how does Tosfos read the Gemara ksav igeris psula? So Tosfos says, no, kosva igeris means like when you write a letter to your friend, so sometimes you'll misspell a word, it won't be correct grammatically, the syntax, you have a run-on sentence, you won't put a semicolon, you won't cut a period. It's a letter. It's not going to be, he's going to throw it in the garbage after he reads the letter. He's not going to file it, he's not going to put it on the internet, so you're not so careful. So kosva igeris means you weren't careful about the kriya and the ksiv, you didn't spell all the words correctly. So kasvei geres psula shenema basefer. You have to write it correctly, not basefer that you need sirtut. Basefer means if you misspell the words, that's not kosher.
Wouldn't the Gemara say something like kasher os psula kasher?
Why don't they speak our language? Yeah, I don't know. It's a strange Gemara. However, you learn the Gemara, whether you learn like Rashi or like Tosfos, it's a taina. Why didn't they spell out better? Tosfos, in fact, has a klal in different places in Shas. Sometimes Amoroim speak lidivrechem. Sometimes Tanoim. Tanoim used to debate with each other, sometimes like the Nochem used to debate. Instead of saying, like, they always debate, should China be accepted to the United Nations? You're debating. It's not that I really hold like that. It's a debate. So sometimes the Tanoim would advance an argument, lidivrecha, you're wrong. But they wouldn't really say what their shita is. That a lot of times you can't tell from the words of the Tanya what he really holds. So Tosfos says, Amaroim Yeshlem Lefarish Yoser. Amaroim used to be more explicit. They used to spell out more explicitly what they're talking about Allah HaMaisa. Here you have a Gemara, and Amor is speaking, and he says, Kosva Yigeris, and Rashi's Pshat Shver, and Tosfos Pshat Shver. Rashi says Yigeris means he didn't have Sirtut. Shenema Basefer. And every Sefer needs Sutta. Sefer Torah needs Sutta. And Taisa says Kasir Geris means he wasn't careful with the spelling. He didn't write Moli Achasa correct. So they're both Pshat and Mamachudish Dik. Both are very difficult. Whatever it is, that's the problem. Here there's a famous Rabbi Natam, but later next week we'll have to discuss. Rabbi Natam discusses two dinim in Sirtu. Sve alochas in Sirtu. Okay. This morning in the yeshiva, they had hespedim for the Rosh Yeshiva from Eretz Yisrael who passed away. He was the biggest Rosh Yeshiva in the history of the world. Whoever had so many thousands of Talmidim in the Miri Yeshiva? Whoever had so many Talmidim? Half of Yerushalayim was the Miri Yeshiva. So in today's Sedra, it says, V'hu yashev Pesach ha'ohel kechayim hayam. HaKadosh Baruch appears to Avraham Avinu, and he's sitting. And the word yoshev is chasavav. It says yoshav. So Rashi quote, the Gemara is medayik. The Gemara in the Midrashim are medayik. Mali and chasav, how come it's written? The normal way to spell Yoshev is Yud Vav Shin Beis. How come it's spelled Chaser? So Rashi quotes a famous, Rashi made it famous, the Medrash. Bikish Lamed. Avraham Avinu wanted to stand up out of Kavod HaShechina. The Shechina appeared. So Ribbono Shel Olam told him, no, you sit. V'ata Simen Levanecha. That whenever there'll be a Din Torah, the Bezin should sit. V'yam Neshnei Hanashem Asher Lahem Harev Lefnei Hashem. The Baladinim have to stand and the Dayanim have to sit. So Ribbono Shel Olam tells Avraham Avinu, you sit. You're like the Bezin. What in the world does it have to do with a Bezin? Who's talking about a Din Torah? Where is the Bezin over here? What is he being done on? So Rav Soloveitchik said, Al Derech Hadrash, I don't remember, maybe he said it from the name of someone else. This I don't remember. So he said, the Malachim who visited Avraham Avinu were on their way to destroy the cities of Sdom Vamor. So, they were rotten people. They're absolutely miserable. So the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to destroy the cities. So the Ribbono Shel Olam, if a person lives in a generation, he lives in a society where it's impossible to keep Torah mitzvahs. Impossible. So did they really deserve kloya? Were they really so wicked? Maybe their part of the Middle East was such that you can't live without being mean and miserable and so on. So that's what the pasuk tells. Avraham Avinu lived right down the road. He lived in the exact same place. And Avraham Avinu was a tzaddik ben adam lamokim ben adam lachaver achnasa sorchem. He's a sweetie pie. He's a darling. They could have done the same thing. So in a certain sense, Avraham Avinu is mechayiv the rishoyim. The Gemara has in Yuma. The Gemara says, Hillel, the Tana, was so poor, he barely made a parnasa. He made peanuts every day for a living, and he had to give away half the money to get into the base medrash. They used to charge money. One day he didn't have any money, so he sat on top of the, and then the snow came down, and it was dark, and they saw a human figure there, and they went out on the roof, and they saw it was Hillel was there. So they realized he didn't have any money. So the Gemara says he had no money and he was Maisa Nefesh to learn Torah. So Hillel is Mechayiv Aniyim. That's the Lashon Gemara. Hillel Mechayiv Aniyim. If Hillel could do it, even the poorest person in the world can do it. And there was a Tana, Rabbi Elazar ben Charsim, he was very wealthy and he had to take care of all of his investments and he had branches of his business all over the place. And he was still sitting and learning. Even the wealthiest man in the world, Patnish Kenteretz, have no time to learn. I'm busy with all of my investments and so on. Rabbi Elazar ben Charsim is Mechayiv Ashirim, and Hillel is Mechayiv Anim. So in a certain sense, we can say Avraham Avinu is Mechayiv Sodom Vamor. He wasn't the Bezdin. He wasn't serving as a Bezdin, but in a certain sense, he was Mechayiv them. He lived down the road, and he was a Tzadik ben Adam Lamakam ben Adam Lachavet. So if he could do it, they could have done it also. So the Malachim had it. The Baruch Shalom said to the Malachim, you pass by Avraham Avinu, he lives down the road. You check to see if he's a decent fellow. And if he's a tzaddik, then there's no excuse for them. They could have lived like him as well. So this Rosh Yeshiva who passed away had Parkinson's for the longest time. And when you, I could never understand when he spoke. It was so difficult when he didn't want to take his medication because he wouldn't be able to concentrate. And he said shiurim till the day that he died. He said shiurim every single day. And there were so many thousands of students. So the different groups were coming every day. You say a shiur in Yevamos, and a shiur in Zvachim, a shiur in Erevin, and a shiur in Shulchan Aruch, and then every Friday gave a shiur for the American students in English. And he would tell every summer when I go to the NCSY group, so they have boys from high schools all over the United States, and they would always bring him to this from Nosson Zvi Finkel, and he would always tell him, I went to Ida Crown. Ida Crown is co-ed high school. I went to Ida Crown. And then he went, after he finished high school, he was going to go to university, he went to visit his uncle to learn a little bit the Eretz Yisrael for the year. And then his uncle didn't let him come back to America, and then he married his cousin. He married the uncle's daughter, Rabbeinu Shvinkel. So he always tells the boys, if I came from Ida Crown, and I sat there and learned, you can do the same thing also. He's really mechayev. He had Parkinson's, and he used to come to America, and used to knock his kishkas out to raise money for the yeshiva, traveling all over from one place to the other. And he'd always give shiurim for all the talmidim. So he's really, in a certain sense, he's mechayev all of us. If such a sick man, all day and all night, he was always gelikt and learning all the time. When he came to America, he was always learning. And he was so happy. When he saw his talmidim being matzlich, it gave him the biggest simcha. He was never mekani the talmidim. He knew a lot of the students who go to Hesdi yeshivas after they graduate high school, they go to learn in Eretz Yisrael 1 or 2 or 3 years. So after they finish a year or two, they decide they want to move on and they go to the Mir Yeshiva. He would be very happy to take them, and he knew they were going to come back to America to go to university. Okay. And he would give them a bracha. I was matzliach here, and I can't, if he would come to YU, he wouldn't be matzliach. He gives them all a blessing. You go to America, you go wherever you're going to go, you'll be matzliach over there. You should be matzliach where I would not be matzliach. He had his atzlocha there with the Israelis, with the Mnei Chutzlot, and he gave them all a bracha. He's really mechayev all of us, like Avram Avinu was mechayev Sodom v'Amora, and Hillel is mechayev Da'aniyim, and Rav Lozman and Charsim is mechayev Da'ashirim. He is mechayev all of us. We all have the ability. We should all be healthy for many, many years to come, and we should all put all of our kachas into learning Torah.
I heard that the Rosh Hashiva of Mir, he didn't want to take pills because he wanted him to learn.
Right. Right. He wouldn't be able to concentrate.
Yes.
In America, yeah. You knew that the people would give more money. Somebody knows. Somebody knows.